Got to take that first deep breath. Hello, everyone. Like, as always, it's a pleasure to be here, to stand before you. And as always, I was totally prepared until I stopped and looked at it before I got here. Had a cause to think a lot about a certain part of our religious belief. It started a while back when a co-worker whom I've never met face-to-face called me. He had something to discuss, and the only thing I could think of was telling him to be true to his faith. Be faithful. Believe in God and believe that He can help you and guide you through this. Well, you know, as things go on, I spoke to him a couple of times here and there and so on. But what's amazing is we've been studying Alma, the book of Alma, in our Sunday school class. And when we got to the when we got to where Ammon and his brethren went to the Lamanites, I loved it. It hit home. How was it that Ammon went about overcoming the difference between his beliefs and the Lamanite beliefs? Did he go in there and did he pound heads? No. Well, he did, but it was only because he was attacked. You know, did he go in there and just preach straight from the pulpit to the Lamanites and they just believed? No. Ammon went there with a faith and a prayer, an exercise of his faith that the Lord would give him everything that he needed. And when he went there, he exercised that faith through example. He did everything in search of that which was good. And he did everything that he was told to do as long as it was good. And the king saw that and he was interested. Well, to me, that faith in my life, I have faith. Believe me, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. But I think sometimes I take my faith for granted. Bear with me. I'm, you know, speaking here. We all know faith is not a perfect knowledge, right? We all agree to that, right? Faith is not a perfect knowledge. We know that. We actually just read that today in Alma 16. Verse 143. I'm going to start with a reading out of Hebrews tonight, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Bear with me. I apologize. My scriptures, the way I put them together doesn't always, but in the end, I hope that the point comes clear. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We are surrounded in this world by this cloud of witnesses. Our Father that we believe in so greatly, where our faith comes from, gave us a great gift. Are we going to be able to use that gift to its fullest? Are we as human beings not going to fail a little bit and need to be chastised, need to be punished, need not so much punished but corrected? He's not going to punish us per se, but correct us. Our faith begins when we choose to do good over evil. In that time in your life, many of you have always believed that you were doing good in your life. I know before I came to know Jesus Christ, I didn't think I was doing anything bad or wrong. Many of you being part of the church all your life have been on this path for a long time. I do remember that time that I came to know. Did faith only begin when Christ came? No. No, it didn't. Moroni 7, page 765. I'm going to use several verses out of Moroni tonight so you can, if you desire to follow along, you can keep that open. Page 765, verses 19 through 24. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that ye can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to that faith of which I said I would speak. And I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were divers ways that he did manifest things unto the children of men which were good. And all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen. And there could no good things come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels and by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus, by faith, they did lay hold upon every good thing. And thus it was until the coming of Christ. God was preparing the prophets of old, those before Christ, he was preparing them. He was showing them, planting that seed of faith through his angels, through his own mouth, delivering the word of the coming of his Son. Practice of faith was from the beginning. God wanted us searching for all good things. Of course, he sent messengers, but he spoke. Himself. He gave that message himself before Christ came, of the coming of Christ. This was faith that these men and women who believed on this grasped onto. Let's move back to verses 10 and 11 on page 764. Wherefore all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve Him is inspired of God. I use these two verses to show there's a great battle going on. God and Satan. Satan's trying to acquire you, take you over, lead you. God's trying to save you, keep you safe, show you the love and mercy. He's not making you do anything that you do. In verse 24, it says, of the previous reading, it says, men began to exercise faith. Exercising my faith. This is what I was talking about, where sometimes I feel that the way I exercise my faith, I take for granted. I get up every morning and I say my prayers. And I leave with the expectation and knowledge that the Spirit is with me. God is with me. Is that all I need to do? I leave the house on Monday to travel for the whole week, and I know that God will be with Wendy and Liberty. That's faith. But do I exercise my faith? Maybe a little confusing. I just think that I don't do enough. And I apologize that I talk about myself when I preach, but I can't make example of you. I can make that example of me. I have a little exercise program for you. Hopefully, you'll take it and you'll think about it. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3. You all know exactly where this is at. Verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is talking about humility. This is not an exercise of self-pity, but of strength. Humility. Do you exercise humility consciously every day? The strength to step back and remember your own sins that were forgiven and have the patience to work with others as they struggle. It's an exercise. Praying in the morning is your stretches. We're going to stretch a little bit. We're going to pray. We're going to get started with our exercises. But when you leave the house, are you consciously going out and thinking in a humbled way? Verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I have to tell you that for the longest time, I thought to myself that's so true. I see now when I look back, when I've been to a funeral of a loved one, the ceremony, everything was done, I felt comforted that person was in a better place, which is true. God will comfort you. Mourn for a loss of a loved one or a tragic act, something tragic happening, you mourn for something that's happened to someone. How about when you sin and you come to the realization that you've sinned? if you have faith, you will repent. Your comfort will come from repentance. Are you exercising the ability to mourn, to look at your daily walk and see the sin in it, and get down on your knees and pray, ask for repentance? Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness. I wrote down, this isn't fearing the bully at school or even the bully at work. It's not about fearing the world. This meekness comes not from hiding because you don't want to deal with the world. This meekness is a broken heart and a contrite spirit, full submission to God and His commandments. I guess if you were going to fear something, I wrote a little note here that says, being meek is the fear of God's wrath upon your head for not following Him. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Isaiah 55. Verse 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Free exercise class. It's free. It will fill you. I'm filled because I have that confidence knowing that when I go out, the Spirit's with me. But yet I should exercise more. I'm not someone who exercises physically either. I just don't. And I think that is a realization that I'm not motivated a lot to exercise my faith. But I think I'm just going to go with what I wrote. Exercise your faith by calling on God in prayer or thought. God made this promise to care for you and I. All we have to do is seek the good in all things. Verse 7, Matthew 5, 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What comes around goes around, right? I honestly think that in my work that I unknowingly practice humility and mercy a lot. I'm a service engineer. People don't call me to say, hey, Merry Christmas, what's up? They call me because their equipment's broke. They call me because they're upset. And I have to go in and I have to be pleasant, even when they aren't. You get what you give. If you go in with a bad attitude, you're going to get a bad attitude back. By showing mercy to to who are in a state of misery, or toward everyone, you are assured mercy in God's sight. I think that's a good thing. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart. You ever evaluated yourself to think whether you have a pure heart? My reference in my Bible says sincerity. Through sincerity, Moroni 7, verses 7 and 8. For behold, if a man being evil giveth a gift, he doth it grudgingly. Wherefore it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift. Wherefore he is counted evil before God. And likewise also is it counted evil unto a man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart, yea, and it profiteth him nothing. For God receiveth none such, wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. That good gift. Sincerity. When you pray, your heart should be filled with sincerity. We know that. God won't answer your prayers if you're just praying in a vain fashion. But I thought about this verse here, where it says, a man being evil giveth a gift, he doeth it grudgingly. You know, God says, why even give the gift? Why give it? If you don't want to give it, don't give it. When the gift is valued higher than the giving or the recipient's needs, it's not worthy in God's eyes. If it's not with the fullness and pureness of your heart that you ask for something, He's not going to notice you. Are you practicing that every day? Are you starting to see how these exercises are starting to fit together? By exercising humility, you will be able to mourn or repent. Mourning to meekness. Meekness drives your motivation to seek righteousness. Mercy is obtained through righteousness. And if you have gone to all this, you have obviously decided to be sincere. Have a pure heart. Matthew 5:9-11. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I don't think there's one of us here, I may be wrong, that have actually been persecuted. This is a physical, something physical. We've all experienced a persecution of types, people speaking against us because of our belief in the Book of Mormon. That witness to Jesus Christ. I had the opportunity to share that in the last 11 days for a moment with two co-workers that I believed in the Book of Mormon. One was an Orthodox and the other one was a Christian. They asked me why I believed in it. I said, because I believe it's a witness to the coming of Jesus Christ. It's an added witness to the Bible. Why? Why? Because when Israel was scattered, there were many tribes scattered about the world. I believe I have a witness to where one of those tribes went. A portion of those tribes. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The exercise of our faith brings us closer to God, being Christ-like, living our life. This is something that I've always questioned in myself. How can I be Christ-like? How would I ever measure up to be Christ-like? By exercising my faith. By consciously going out every day and exercising my faith. There's more to it than just faith. Chapter 7 of Moroni. Page 766, verses 35 and 36. And Christ hath said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me, that ye may be saved. Verse 46 through 49. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you, that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of the resurrection to be raised unto life eternal. And this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope, for without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God save the meek and lowly of heart. And if a man be meek and lowly of heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity, for if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. You have to have faith first. You exercise your faith because you have hope for eternal life. What do you achieve by exercising your faith and having that hope of eternal life? Charity. The pure love of Jesus Christ. That one thing that I always question, am I good enough to get to that point? If I exercise my faith, I can. Our salvation lies in our faith. Our hope of eternal life, and the pure love of Christ. I'm going to close with John, 1 John chapter 3. Verses 14 through 24. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We know we have passed from death through Jesus Christ, the atonement of Jesus Christ through his sacrifice. we have the opportunity for eternal life. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. It's okay, I have that confidence that when I leave, that faith that I have, that he will be with Wendy and Liberty, and he will be with me, and he will be with you, that's okay. But I have a realization that every day I need to consciously exercise my faith. And that's what's weighed upon me for the last couple of months. And I believe that because of this, because I've read these scriptures, and they may have not made a lot of sense to anyone else, but they did to me. Because of that, I know that because Jesus Christ, it was his plan from the beginning. God and he made this world and everything good in it. And that's what I look forward to. I look forward to seeing the good in everything, the opportunity for good in anything, and to exercise my faith daily. Thank you.